you are listening to Linda Sims, and the name of this program is called A Voice of a People. Here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio, and this show is live. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com, and that means at this very moment you can catch the show live on www.wwgh1071.com. You can download free app called TuneIn on any electronic device, like now during the time the show is on, and search WWGH. Again, the name of that app is called TuneIn, and once you download that app, it stays on your phone like your other apps, right? So all you need to do is hit that TuneIn at 4:15 and you will be listening to A Voice of a People, right? All right. Or you can call in if you have any questions or would like to make any comments regarding the show today. We will be talking about expressions of the last days, and today my guest is Jeff Porter. Okay, now if you want to call in, the telephone number is 740-383-9944. And we do know that every now and then we do get call-ins. So we know you're out there listening.
I'll tell you what, the first person to call in today, I'll give them a free book.
Uh-oh, free book.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Expressions of the Last Days.
Yeah.
Okay, now let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street, here in Marion, Ohio, 740-382-8552. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio, 740-223-1515, or www.logosChristianMinistries.com. They have another announcement this Saturday, August the 15th. The hour is from 12 noon to 2 p.m. They will be having free produce. Logos Christian Ministries at 582 Lee Street. If you would like to take advantage of this opportunity, or if you know someone else who could use some free produce, please give them this information. Will take place this Saturday from 12 noon to 2 p.m. Last but not least, Inspect Ohio, LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 25 years of experience working for you. Location, LaRue, Ohio, 740-262-0939. I do not mean by any way to neglect my listeners who listen every week. Thank you for your support. I like to start this show off with a thought for today, and this thought is titled Worrying About the Future. And just let me pull that up. And some people say, well, I wonder what's going to happen tomorrow. You ever heard anybody say that, Jeff?
Yeah, I do these days. Yep, definitely. What's going to happen? Do you think this is the tribulation? Do you think this is really the real thing here? I don't know. I really don't know.
And, okay, like I said, the title is Worrying About the Future. And it goes like this. My phone wants to jump around right now, so.
What's wrong with it?
I don't know.
You haven't tamed it yet?
I guess not. Okay, worrying about the future. Do you worry about the future? The future is unknown, uncertain, and unpredictable. So instead of worrying about it, start trusting life a little bit more. Trust that everything that happens, happens for your growth. Trust that life knows your potential and it will nurture you. Trust that life works for you and with you no matter how things work out. Trust your future, and this may help you to make the most of life as it happens. Now, we're going to be talking to Jeff Porter.
You know, it's funny you should bring that up because it fits right in with my theme today.
Oh, look.
A friend of mine suggested this book. It's called For God's Sake, Grow Up by David Ravenhill, who has been a very, very good preacher, heavy, you know, deep theologian.
Okay.
And I put him right up there with David Wilkerson, okay. Some of those guys, you know.
I've listened to him lately.
Did
some
you?
Of his past sermons.
The late
yeah.
David Wilkerson.
Wilkerson. He's on, on YouTube.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's passed away.
Yes.
He was in a really bad car accident. So, a lot of what David Ravenhill was talking about, you know, we were in the middle of this big apostasy, the great falling away from the truth. We had the most incredible things happening inside the church. I've even heard reports of people of some churches having orgies.
Churches?
And stuff like, yes. And
today.
Yes. And going to Las Vegas or Atlanta and gambling for money for the church. You know, what do you think God thinks of that? You know, look at the world.
Orgies, no.
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 I think gambling's bad because of the atmosphere you're in.
You well, know. It can be habitual, too.
Yeah.
But orgy in the church? No.
I think not. And this shows that the reason why God's wrath is still coming is because they're not listening. You know, we have a lot of encouragement about, and the reason why people have to receive encouragement because they have so much fear is because prosperity and a lot of these mamby-pamby doctrines that have been preached over the years have not strengthened people for facing a crisis.
No.
You know?
No.
America has just been too comfortable for too long, American Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's what's been happening throughout the world because, you know, TBN is a worldwide preacher, and they've been preaching
yes,
prosperity for a long time. Prosperity preaches perpetual health mm-hmm. and perpetual wealth, and it's just purely wrong. If you look in there, see what the disciples went through, see what Paul went through. You read in magazines like Blood of the Martyrs, where Christians are being slaughtered overseas for what they believe, and they still stand. They won't back down. Isn't that amazing?
Yes, it is.
Gives me hope.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, now, so what? One of the aspects of this guy is deep, man. He is.
Is he?
He is not. It's not impossible to understand.
Okay.
But he's deep. I guess I'm deep and wide.
That's a little joke Jeff added
joke.
In there.
A.W. Tozer, in his indomitable way, sums up the problem when he speaks of the old cross and the new. Unannounced and largely undetected, there has come in modern times a new cross into popular evangelical circles. It is like the old cross, but while likenesses are superficial, the differences are fundamental. From this new cross has sprung a new philosophy of Christian life, and from that new philosophy has come a new evangelical technique, a new type of meeting, a new kind of preaching. This new evangelism employs the same language as the old, but its contact and emphasis differ. The old cross would have no truck with the world. For Adam's proud flesh, it meant the end of the journey and carried into effect the sentence imposed by the law of Sinai. The new cross, in contrast, is not opposed to our flesh. This is what I've been complaining about. It is a friendly pal, the source of oceans of good, clean fun and innocent enjoyment. It lets Adam live without interference. His life motivation is unchanged. He still lives for his own pleasure, but now he takes delight in singing worship choruses and watching religious movies instead of singing body songs and drinking hard liquor. The accent is still on enjoyment, though the fun now is on a high plane morally, if not intellectually. The new cross encourages a new and entirely different evangelistic approach. The evangelist does not demand a surrendering of the old life before the new life can be received. He preaches similarities rather than contrasts. He seeks to create more interest in the gospel by showing that the Christianity makes no unpleasant demands.
As long as we stay in our place.
Yeah. His brand of Christianity offers the same things the world does, only on a higher level.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the sin-mad world happens to be clamoring after in the moment is cleverly shown to be the very thing the gospel offers. Only the religious version is better. The new cross does not slay the sinner. It redirects him. It steers him into a cleaner and jollier way of living and saves his self-respect. To self-assertive, it says, come and assert yourself for Christ. To the egotist, it says, come and do your boasting in the Lord. To the thrill-seeker, it says, come and enjoy the thrill of success through Christ. So, what we're talking about is a new gospel, a different gospel.
Other than what Paul preached.
Right. And other what Jesus preached, really.
Right.
Because it appeals to the flesh.
Right.
You know, and I say, where do we go from there? Because it's proving that the prosperity gospel is not helping people right now. Because bad stuff is not supposed to happen to you.
Not really.
You're not supposed to run into oppositions and problems.
Challenges
and
stuff.
No. You know, perpetual health and perpetual wealth. Now, if you're in the Lord's will, you should never have to face any persecution or... Your car should never break down, I guess. You know, I don't know what they tell each other. Like, I hung around prosperity people quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to be careful what you say around them or you're going to get a great big lecture.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And have you been around that?
Yeah, I've been around it. I mean, like you say, TBN, they've preached it for years.
Yeah.
Keith Copeland and just a lot of them. Leroy Jenkins, you ever heard of him?
I remember him.
Money Cometh to Me. I used to watch him on TV, you know.
The crazy things he did.
And the people would just bring money and just bring money and just drop it and just bring money. And I'm thinking, oh, my.
Well, they emphasize give and it shall be given unto
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah. True.
It is true. You know, it's amazing how they take stuff out of context. It doesn't mean, you know, if you go up here and you contribute to a guy that robs banks, that you're going to get, you know, you're going to get your payback. Maybe you will, but not legally.
It won't be like that, right? Like you would want it to be.
Yeah.
Oh.
But I mean, you know, if your neighbor is starving and you give him money and food and stuff, then God will pay you back. He always did me.
Yes, I believe that.
But people like Leroy Jenkins and some of these TV evangelists, they're trying to find scriptures to make it very pleasant to give money to them.
He was so bad, they took him off TV.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
He was in prison.
Was he?
He went to prison for...
Wait a minute. You're talking about the Leroy Jenkins that would be down in
Delaware?
Okay, I'm thinking about another Leroy.
If I remember right, his daughter got pulled over or something
mm-hmm.
by the highway patrol, and he burned down a highway patrol post. And they put him in prison for a while. I don't know how long. But, I mean, you know, I don't think that's quite the Christian thing to do.
I don't either. Wow.
I think some of these people are just not born again, you know.
They will not surrender.
No.
See, it's about surrendering your will, your mind, and your emotions, right?
A servant's
heart.
All.
And what is it? A stable character.
That's
you have
right.
to surrender. If you're not going to surrender, then you're not there yet.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
it's
right.
a form and a fashion that you've thought up in your mind, or like you say, this book is saying that a new gospel is being preached.
That's right. A totally different one. How long do you think God's going to tolerate that?
Oh, my.
Not
That's
forever.
Scary.
He tolerates it for a long time, but not forever. And I think this virus thing is definitely a strong warning to turn around and start believing the real gospel.
Oh, gosh.
You know.
Yeah.
And I don't really see that much repentance going on. There's some. I did hear from a preacher recently that the prosperity movement is what has ruined Christianity's endurance for a crisis, because they're not ready for a crisis.
No, it is. That could be a big part of it too. But then when you think about what is being preached, the every preacher is not preaching prosperity, but I think every church is suffering from a lack of something that should have been preached. There's got to be a lack there because...
Well, they keep preaching stuff that people want to hear. And another thing,
yeah,
I
patting us on
that,
our back and, you know, well, you can make it and I... What is it?
You can make it. I remember Tammy on PTL Club had a song that said, you can make it.
If you do this, oh yeah, if you read your Bible every day, you know,
yeah.
you'll make it, you know.
Read your Bible and pray every day.
Right, pray every day. God will help you.
You know, it's
know,
like,
you'll
okay,
then
the Lord sit down beside you and say, did you pray today? You know, I might have forgot to do that, Lord.
And they've been telling you, like, jump through hoops, you know, and that'll save you. But those are lies. And here's a big one. Here's a big one, Jeff. If you do your communion, you will be healed. But why? What did God say about being healed? By my stripes and my stripes alone. I don't care how much communion you take. That's another big lie.
I think we had, and I absolutely agree with that. And that's why I was so against tithing. It's because it's works.
Yeah.
And this person is trying to tell me that his whole family was saved in a car accident because he pays his tithe.
I think that was more mercy, wasn't it? God's
just
mercy, his
God's
grace.
His grace. Just God's grace. Why can't we just accept that?
Right.
You know, I had to have something to do with it.
I got you.
I involved my hand in it, so therefore I deserve
exalting credit. Myself.
Exactly.
Oh, wow. Now, that's deep. That
it
one
is.
Is deep.
So, what David Ravenhill also talked about was... that we had a revival back in the 60s and 70s, mm-hmm. I would say, you know. And I mean, a lot of people got saved, and charismatic Christianity became more up in the front, you know, and everything. And it was really enjoyable. You know, you got around the charismatics and the Pentecostals, you get a big blessing,
mm-hmm.
you know. I did many times.
I remember.
But... after that comes the growing. And see, that's the part that Christians don't like, is because after that, you start running into fires. And that's because God is teaching you.
Mm-hmm.
He's bringing you through fires. You know, difficulties in fires can bring you closer to God.
It makes you stronger,
it
right,
does.
In the faith.
I hate going through fires.
Me too.
Everybody does. It's aggravating.
But how can we grow?
Otherwise, you can't grow. See, for some odd reason, he has chosen suffering to make us grow.
He suffered.
Yeah.
We're no better than he is, right?
A servant is not greater than the master.
That's right. Absolutely. Boy, I tell you, another gospel, and Paul talks against that. He said, you know, if anyone comes to you with another gospel that we haven't preached, let him be accursed. Isn't that what it says?
Yeah. You wouldn't want to know what the Hebrews translation says. You sure you want to hear that?
Is it air?
I don't know. I don't know. Paul said
it?
Things that may not be arable.
What did he say?
You sure you want to hear it?
I don't know.
Let him be castrated.
Really?
That's what Paul said in closer to the Hebrew translation.
Oh. That's deep.
I mean, well, look what he went through, though. Here he is preaching the true gospel,
mm-hmm.
and you have these false prophets that move right in,
mm-hmm.
start preaching another gospel. They start, usually it was Judaism, you know, back then.
And what about
we
that?
Have some Judaism today.
Yes, we do. And what about Scientology?
Ooh.
That all the stars and all them are supposed to be affiliated with.
Yeah,
you know?
Why is Scientology so popular amongst the movie stars?
I don't know
why that is.
I don't know.
You know, like Tom Cruise.
Right.
You know.
It has a lot of them. He stands out because I guess he's maybe one of the most famous, and he's been in it probably the longest that I can think of, because I never heard of it until they brought it up about him.
I heard of it because of Walter Martin.
Okay.
But I'm not no big expert on the subject. I listened
to
his lectures.
Either.
And I read a couple of books about it, but Scientology is another one of those New Age type of belief systems, whereas if you just have faith in your faith, I guess,
mm-hmm.
You can be healed of just about anything, you know.
I believe that to a certain extent. Is that
psychological healing?
Well, the word heals, I know that.
I know, but... It's very close to the truth.
Is it? Okay. Well, a lot of them are, right?
Like, I was just reading about an apologist that was talking about yoga, you know.
What about meditation?
Well, they're giving these statistics about yoga, for instance. They don't just meditate. They go into this higher consciousness thing, you know. Nirvana, I guess you might want to call it. And there have been instances of psychosis. Total psychosis.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Just leave reality altogether?
Yeah.
Well, that wouldn't be
Christ-like. It'd be about the same thing as dropping acid.
Oh.
You know, you just go into this consciousness, like this guy told me that he had a bag of acid in his car, and the police pulled him over, so he took that whole bag, that baggie, and stuck it in his mouth. You know, to keep from getting, he didn't, but that some of that acid seeped out, and he's in a mental ward now, and he'll never come out of it.
Ooh.
And this lady on the bus, when I used to drive the bus, she was telling me that her brother did drugs and acid and stuff, and now he thinks he's a glass of orange juice. He's in a mental ward, and he's always afraid he's going to tip over.
Wow. How far have we come from the prophets and the apostles and Christ, the words of Christ,
Satan keeps people out of their Bible.
Right.
They don't read it for themselves. They let the preachers and teachers tell them what's in there. And so what's Satan going to do? He's going to take advantage of that.
Of course.
You know. And a lot of them don't even know the basics, you know.
True.
I was talking to a preacher a while back that said, I said, you know what I think? I think a lot of these Christian leaders that we have today, they go to seminary and they go to Christian colleges and stuff like that. But when they come out of that, the colleges don't emphasize the heart thing, and they come out, they're not born again.
So, since you said that, do you think that they are called? Or is this a career move that they've made on their own?
Well, I think a lot of them is just a career move. It's just a job. And they've learned how to act and what to say and stuff, you know. And Jesus went out to Mount Sinai, you know, the ones that go the E's and the A's. And then he got struck by lightning. You know.
That's scary. That's scary to realize that we're supposed to be called.
Yeah.
To administer the gospel, to administer the message of
in some way or
in
another.
Christ. Yeah, we're supposed to have heard the call of God on our life, you know, and testament to that, when he called, how he called you, and things like that. But just to make a career move, and like you said, the heart's not in it.
Well, you know, Marion Library had a thing, you know, where you could put your books on display. And people come around and look at it. And I had several people ask me, because of Expressions of the Last Days, they said, what qualifies you to do a book on Bible prophecy?
Right.
In other words, what they're asking me is, where's your PhD?
Right. Or,
you know, where's your master's degree?
Right.
And I said, I don't have one. I've taken college courses before. But I just, I feel I'm called of God.
There you go.
And I don't think I need any more than that, because the books I've read that on Bible prophecy, they're not too much different from mine.
True.
Really not. There's a few places where I go off the deep end. Mm-hmm. But
you know, a lot of those are your thoughts too, you know.
Yeah.
And when you're writing a book, all that comes out, you know. And I was thinking about Moses, you know, when God had told him to go liberate the Israelites, you know. The Hebrews, and they said, well, who told you you could have authority, you know, to do this?
And they ask all of them that.
Yeah.
You know. And, like, the disciples, some of them were highly educated, some of them weren't. You know, just the God says, I want you to do this, I want you. He's the one that knows.
That's right. And he's the one who calls.
He's the one that can witness to you.
Right.
And say, okay, today I want to tell you about what you're going to be doing in the future. You want to know what's going to go on in the future? Ask God.
Right.
And the best thing that you can find out is what you're going to be doing, what he's called you to.
Right.
You know, he's called us all to love people.
Mm-hmm.
He's called us all to...
repentance.
Yes, he's called us all to repent. He's also called us to witness to people.
Yes.
Testify of Christ. You know, I know sometimes we feel like we're not even a Christian the way I acted yesterday. I don't know. You know, but we have to get up and dust ourselves off and go on.
Crucify the flesh.
That's right.
Like Paul said, I die daily. It's not just a one-time thing.
No.
You know, it's every day.
I was with a certain denomination that believes that you go through a moment of sanctification,
mm-hmm.
where God eradicates the sin in you,
mm-hmm.
and you become perfect.
That
you
one
know,
time.
More or less perfect.
That one time. Because I believe, I may be wrong, but I believe at that moment that you received Christ, that just for that moment you were.
You were sanctified in
you
his
were
sanctified.
Eyes. Sanctified. That's right. You were perfect in his eyes. Just for that moment.
But we're not perfect.
Oh, no, we're not perfect. And then we hear our pastor say sanctification takes a lifetime.
That's all your life.
All your life.
That's right.
We're so hard-headed.
I know.
It's stiff-necked, right?
I've had the Lord warn me, you know, I was going in this one shop one time, and I had problems with my motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
And I went in there, and I had bought some mirrors from them, and Satan had really gotten me tied up in knots about this, you know. And a stupid me is sitting there listening to him, you know. So I went to that shop and I threw a fit. And the Lord warned me all the way to Columbus, don't do this. You know, don't jump on these people. It's not going to help anything. Guess what I did? I went ahead and did
you
it
did
anyway.
Did it anyway.
And it just caused this big fiasco.
Oh, wow. You know?
But I think they forgot about me now. That's a long
couldn't
time
contain
ago.
That anger. Couldn't make it obey, could
no.
you?
No.
You wouldn't make it obey.
I couldn't. You know, maybe I could have. I don't know.
Yeah, if you had to listen.
Yep. I remember other times when God, when I prayed about situations and he gave me enough peace to where I didn't throw a big fit. You know?
Right, right, right. But you know, he says you can be angry but sin not. So,
yeah.
And if he's telling you to behave, settle down, don't go that far, then you really sinned.
Well, if, you know, if...
to have your way, you think?
You know, to be tempted is not the same thing as committing that sin. If you've resisted that sin, then okay, but I didn't. I went ahead and...
Right, you dwelt on it.
Yeah.
You made it really, really big.
Swallowed it.
Yeah, you got really, really big and out of proportion, so you were driven.
Yeah.
By that force.
Well, you know, you feel like you got to be a real man.
Yeah, know. I do. I do. I
when
know.
You're in show off your superiority or something.
Right, right. Like, who am I? Okay. Wow. Alrighty then. Another gospel.
Yes, and we have many other gospels around, you know, that are actual cults. But the prosperity movement is a cult that hasn't been... It's very subtle, and it's worked its way into the inside of Christianity. The other cults are outside of Christianity, but this one's inside.
So what do you think about the ministry of Joel Osteen? Where do you place that in the...
Well, he makes a great motivational speaker.
Yes, he is.
But if you've seen him on... Look him up on the old Larry King shows. Where mm-hmm. Larry King had him on a lot.
Did he?
When he first started, yeah. And... Joel Osteen will not take a strong stand for Jesus being the only way. He thinks that everybody's going to heaven. He has a universal type doctrine where everybody's going to heaven. So I like listening to Joel Osteen because he's so encouraging.
Yes, he is.
But the dangerous thing about him is that he doesn't believe Jesus is the only way.
And that is the root of these ongoing and multiple application of other gospels. Because it makes people think, well, there's another way.
Yeah, and you know, Satan's been spreading that out over the world for a long time now, and it's totally believed now. And then what they're trying to say is Christians are bigots. You know, they're saying Jesus is the only way, and you got the only answer, and so you're a bigot, you know. And so we're persecuting those who don't believe the way we do. But you know, Linda, I heard this one guy say that there's only one way to land a plane on a runway, you know, and there's only one way to eradicate sin, you know, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Right.
Rose. And if sin is our major problem, then there's only one guy that can eradicate it.
The one who died for it.
That's right.
The one who was perfect and holy and pure and never did anything wrong.
That's right.
Never. He was the only one who could die for our sins.
Is there anyone else that can make that claim?
No one else.
You know.
No one else. And I don't think people really understand that.
No, they don't.
That was the only candidate and still is the only candidate who can eradicate and dissolve our sin.
That's
only
right.
One.
That's right.
No matter what author, what preacher, what teacher, what missionary, only Christ.
That's right. Remember, what's his name that had that show, Politically Correct? Can't remember what his name was.
I think I heard of that show before.
It was quite a while ago. They even had Tammy Baker on there.
Did they?
Yeah. And he kept asking questions like that. How can Jesus be the only way? Huh?
Right.
Remember
right.
How I told you what the answer to that is?
What?
If we take Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, or Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through mm-hmm. Christ Jesus our Lord.
Right.
Okay. If sin, you know, we look out there, we look at the world, all the terrible things that are going on out there, you know, alcohol, drugs, war, murder, you know, stealing, lying, cheating. If sin is not the cause of that problem out there, what is?
Right. That's why.
And so they sit there and they just look at you and they go, well, I don't know. And you say, well, the Bible claims to have a cure for that.
Right.
And it is the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross for our sins.
Right.
And in 3 days was raised from the dead. Oprah said that she didn't believe too much in God because the Bible says that he was jealous.
People don't understand. God has emotions. That's why we have emotions. He made man in his image and in his likeness.
We're a reflection of him.
Yeah. So when it says Jesus wept, that's an emotion.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Tears.
Well, he was jealous because... Now, you could say he was jealous for our sake, you know, but when people go running off after other gods... Mm-hmm. That makes him jealous.
Yes, it does. Yes,
and he says he does everything he can to bring you back.
Yeah.
You know. But people prefer to go their stubborn way, regardless of anything that he puts in their way, and says, now, wait a minute. Look at this logical thing here. Mm-hmm. Look at this over here, you know.
People don't understand that their attention goes to that thing they put in front
yeah.
of God, which is the first commandment.
Yeah.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So, and make no other gods before you. Don't make
right.
no god or put another god before me, because my name is jealous and I am a jealous God.
That's right.
Why do they think the things that happened to the children of Israel?
Yeah.
All the punishment.
Now, every time I've heard that about Israel being punished, I always think of Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was when they were at their worst.
70 AD, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so Babylon, God kept, he told Isaiah, you know, and Isaiah preached that Israel was going to face severe judgment because they were worshiping the god of Baal and many other gods. And he said, I'm not going to tolerate this forever. And look how patient he was. I mean, they were sacrificing babies to the god of Baal.
Yeah.
Like we are now.
Mm-hmm.
Because Baal is just the god of flesh, you know. And so what is abortion?
You know.
Same thing.
It's true. Abortion is a terrible, hateful thing, you know.
Yeah, and it is.
To realize that we're still doing this to human beings, whatever
yeah.
the race is, it's an atrocity and should be condemned. It should be condemned. And I think about the women who their psyche is thinking, okay, I don't want this baby, so I'm going to get rid of this baby. I'm not with this guy. These are just solutions.
I guess they just don't want. Why don't they put him up for adoption?
Why? That's what I'm trying to get to. Someone needs that baby. Why punish the baby?
Yeah.
Because you made a mistake, or maybe the relationship didn't go right. You know, maybe you were raped. I don't know the cause. And it says, well, you know, you can't make me have a rapist baby. And no one really wants to make you do anything.
Yeah.
But think about the child. Someone else could have. Take that child. Nurture that child. It has life itself.
Yeah.
It's a human being. Just as we. This is how we started. Mm-hmm. It's nothing new. Is this how we started? A seed in the womb?
Yeah.
You know. But we're humans. We eat, sleep, talk, bleed, cry. We do all those things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm not for abortion. I'm really not people killing babies. But I wish somehow that we could reach not just adults, because, and we wonder why, what's wrong with the youth. The youth.
The way they act today?
The way they act today. They're picking up guns, they're shooting, they're killing. No one can tell them anything. Why? Why is that? Well, my mother could tell me something.
Well, for one thing, some of the junk that comes over television.
Not just that. Why aren't the parents raising these children up in the church?
They're working. They're working all the time. They're leaving the kids at home alone. So the kids are like giving themselves and how to
they're
raise
raising,
them. They're
yeah.
raising themselves. And so they just do what they want. Well, they become animal like because they don't have
brute
any guidance.
Beast.
Yeah,
brute beast. That's what the Bible is in a terminology the Bible used. Brute.
I
beast.
Mean, let's think about a thing like human trafficking.
Yeah,
these people, these with this horrible attitude, are growing up and they're becoming criminals. And they're doing the most dastardly things, horrible things, you know. Look how many more serial killers we have today than we did at the beginning. I remember the first time I heard of a serial killer was John Gacy, when he buried all those people in that cornfield. He ran out of room in his closet, so he started burying them in the cornfield, you know. And I think that's how he got caught. But They're not receiving the guidance that they need.
No, and I think about adults. Where are they? Where are they?
Yeah. Well, you know, they just think the gospel is a big joke.
They think coronavirus is all of these things, and the lack of putting God first in our lives. I believe that's why coronavirus is not gone.
Well, not only that, but did you notice that we're not hardly having any public shootings lately?
Praise God.
But it just seems like the public shootings have kind of passed away, and now God's brought on a new judgment. You know.
So what's the new judgment?
The virus.
The virus.
And whether it's real or not, or it's as strong as they say it is or not, doesn't really matter. It's done its devastation, you know. It could lead to economic collapse. It still could.
I know. They're talking about this next stimulus, or trying to talk about it, how they're going to set it up. We may have to pay for it, you know, and all that kind of stuff if they give it to us. And I'm thinking, man doesn't have the answer. Only God has the answer.
That's right.
Only
you
he has
the answer.
You don't
hear them talking about that, though.
No.
They don't talk about God having the answer to anything.
No. No, they want us to pray, but save us, Lord. We need salvation. We need to be saved. We need to be not exactly on our knees, but have the humble spirit of prayerfulness all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't actually have to be on your knees to pray. You can pray in your car. You can pray cleaning up your house, or, you know, what I'm trying to say, cutting the grass or whatever. Let's pray. Let's
That's
lift up
the
Lord.
Pray.
You know, let's worship Him, because He is the only answer, Jeff.
Yep.
He is the only way, the only truth, and the only life.
But I don't hear people saying that too much. They try to say, well, God's not the cause of this.
But you He's know. Allowing it.
Yeah.
Don't they understand that?
Yeah.
He's allowing it.
And I think, you know, every now and then, like World War I and World War II, were God trying to shake the world, wake it up, you know, because there was too much sin going on then, you know. And that was a big shaking.
Yeah, and look at the civil unrest that's going on in our nation.
It's horrible.
Yeah, is that not shaking us enough?
I don't know. Apparently not. You know, because I don't see, you know, in the 911 crisis, people were running to church. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
As soon as that kind of wore off, they went back to business as usual. But they're not even doing that now.
But what did God do? He closed down the churches.
Yeah.
Oh, that's, you know.
And the churches are saying, you know, well, the government's overstepping their bounds. I think God is saying, you've been taking everything for granted.
Yeah. Yeah. Why go there now? I mean, you're not doing it. You're not, you wasn't doing anything when you were there.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Like you said, all these different gospels that's being preached, all these different ways and avenues to Christ, the works of man still exalting himself as if he's God. Why are we going to the church building?
I picked up a book at Fair Park Baptist Church one time, a couple years ago. And this guy was writing, he was an evangelist. And he said the evangelists were getting letters from the headquarters to not to be telling people that they're sinning. Tell them that they're making mistakes. You know. So that then they, of course, they don't feel a need to go up to the altar and ask for forgiveness. You know, that's become, you know, it's becoming a thing of the past, you know. Going or just sitting there and asking for forgiveness, whatever, you know.
Oh, I made a mistake.
Yeah, everybody makes mistakes.
And everybody sins.
That's right.
And everybody
But he was
sins.
Talking about way back in the 70s how the church was starting to slide. You know, starting to just become more and more, let's get along with everybody.
Liberal.
Not tell people that they've sinned and done some horrible thing. I suppose if you're a serial killer, they'd call that a sin.
More tolerable.
Yeah. Yeah, they become a lot more tolerable.
Tolerable to sin, which our ancestors and grandparents and... I can't say so much my parents, because I think from generation to generation, the next generation will say, well, I'm not going to be so mean to my children. I'm not going to make them do the things that I had to do. But those things helped make them and shape them into the people that they were, and they were able to share so much with us. You know, my children said I was strict and I was mean, but...
Yeah, I could see that.
They tell me that, though, you know.
I'm just messing with you.
But I'm serious. And I'm like, well, I did not want you out there just doing anything.
Yeah, that's the way my parents were.
You know, I didn't want you out there doing anything. Just anything you think comes to the top of your head, or you let other people sway you one way or the other. You know, I really wanted to make an impact on them, what was important in their life.
That's right.
You know, that they were important. Their future was important. You know, their bodies was important.
You remember David.
Yeah.
You know, didn't discipline some of his kids, and look how they turned out.
There you go. There you go. So we have examples all through the Bible, don't we?
Yeah.
So there's nothing new under the sun.
Elijah.
Right.
And there were others where Eli is the one I was trying to think of.
He
didn't discipline his kids.
And they were raping the women in the church.
They were horrible.
Like you're saying, they had orgies and things in churches. God killed those young men because of that. And then killed Eli because he didn't chastise them.
That's right. And he got big and fat and was sitting backwards in his chair there at the door. And boom, fell over dead. Broke his neck. Ouch.
Broke his neck, yeah. And we think about those things. Why do, you know, people ought to think, why would God leave such a handbook for us to read and to pay attention to and to learn from? And if you won't pick it up and read it for yourself, you're doing yourself a great disservice.
Yes, because the first step in learning about what this life is all about, learning about what you're supposed to be doing, what's your purpose here, If you reject that, then you have rejected all of the truth that would have helped you find that path. And you just walk down a crooked path the rest of your life.
Only way. The only truth. The only way. The only life. There's life in those words. There's healing in those words. Deliverance are in those words. And you won't even pick up your Bible and read it?
Nope.
Oh, those are just old stories, you know, that they wrote. Folklore, L-O-R-E.
Yeah.
Those stories aren't real.
Yes, I had a relative that was like that.
Really?
Oh, gosh, that stuff is ancient. Why would you believe that ancient stuff? You have to blow the dust off of it first. You know, and so it doesn't have any relativity to our daily life here. But it's just, people are the same today as they were 2,000 years ago. Exactly the same.
And we're going through the same thing over and over. Like I'm watching Moses and the Ten Commandments, and it's a series on Living Faith Channel, right? So they're going through all the plagues, and God is hardening his heart after each plague, and they go back to doing the same thing. We're doing the same thing.
They refuse to grow.
Yeah.
And how many times have I got on here and said, you need to open up your heart and let Jesus, you know, if you're a Christian especially, let him come in and teach you what you need to know for the future.
Right.
Because it's coming.
Yes, it's coming.
The tribulation is still on its way.
Yes.
And we still need to be strengthened by God to be ready for it.
That's true.
If you don't do that, you might survive. I mean, you know, spiritually speaking, like, you might be sitting there. But unfortunately, if you don't grow, then you don't have any discernment.
Right.
And you don't see, like, anything wrong with Joel Osteen and people like that because you don't even know anything. Don't even know the basics.
No.
You know.
No. You don't know Christ.
No.
You don't know.
And people would sit there and look at me like I was crazy because I said Jesus is the only way, not Buddha. You know, not a Muhammad, you know, not Hare Krishna, and on the list goes, you know.
Or another gospel is out.
Yeah, because there's no way to get forgiveness for your sins. And God cannot accept you into heaven if there's sin in your life.
That's true. You can't go.
That's right. And if he wants to be totally fair, he has to say, no, I'm sorry, you can't come in.
That's right.
He's not happy about it.
We're out of time.
Are we?
We are out of time, Jeff. Thank you for listening to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. And we're going to say bye to Jeff.
Bye-bye.
And thank you for coming. And we really enjoyed the book that you brought and your insight on the expression of the last days. And Jeff has a spot on every second Tuesday of every month, so Lord bless and say the same. He will be back to share some more with us next month. Buckle your seatbelts, people, because coronavirus is still there. Till next time, be blessed.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio, the place for all the big events. For Scott Spears and Terry Tackett at the 2016 World Series in Cleveland, Ohio, as the Cleveland Indians face the Chicago Cubs.
Now, how is this all going to end up? How many games are we going to play in this series?
I want to say six games. We're going to take it in six.
Four to six. So what do you think will happen when the Indians go to Wrigley? Because you know that city also is waiting for a World Series.
Yes, they is, you know, but I believe in the city. I believe in the tribe. The president is taking 300 of the employees over to Wrigley Field, and I believe that we're going to have one or two wins coming out of there.
It is an amazing night here, and it's great time. And tonight, to win the opener, does that give them momentum, in your opinion?
Yes, I do. I believe it. I mean, they've been waiting for this all season. Cleveland Indians was counted out. They didn't believe in us, but we in Cleveland, and the time is now.
And here we are in Cleveland. It's probably 39 degrees. The winds are out of the northwest coming off the lake. The lake would be? The Great Lake. Yeah, Lake Erie.